This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Celtics need a miracle, and they can get underway when it comes to that miracle Saturday. Afternoon game Saturday, which I really like. So game three on Saturday.
Yeah, I like it too, but that wasn't the song. I was thinking about all I need is a miracle.
Oh.
All I need
is you.
Is you.
That is Mike and the Mechanics.
All right, that's the one I was thinking
okay.
about. That was the one I was thinking.
We can get that for you before the end of the okay. show, Coach.
Because when you said Grateful Dead, I was like, well.
No. I didn't think you probably know nothing about the Grateful Dead. Nothing. Can you name any other Grateful Dead songs?
No, oh, I don't. Okay. I'm not a deadhead.
Do you know who the frontman of the legendary frontman of the Grateful Dead was?
Yeah, Garcia. What the hell's his first name?
Okay, you got the last name.
Yeah,
and name's not your thing.
Well, there's an ice cream named after him.
Yeah.
Is it Jerry Garcia?
Yes, Jerry Garcia. Wait, yeah.
I don't. I mean, I don't know much about the Deadhead. I'm not their songs. I think it's like. The only reason why I know it is because they're like one of those bands that, like, people love them, you know, and like they love them during like a certain like Woodstock, you know, free love, free.
They call their fans the Deadheads.
Yeah, Bill Russell. I'm not Bill Russell. Bill Walton was one.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
In Celtic City, he takes everybody to see the Dead.
Yeah.
Larry and Kevin McHale and Danny Ainge and yes. All right. We were in the middle of news, and all morning long, we have been unfortunately forced to talk about the embarrassment of the Boston Celtics on the parquet, the legendary parquet that we were just talking about. Now down 2-0, and so you need a miracle.
Yeah.
But you said you're not pushing the panic button.
No, but my finger is on it.
Okay.
I'm not pushing it, but my finger is on it.
I'm slightly stroking the panic button.
You are?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Onward.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's get back to the news, though, so we get that done.
Well, our boss, Ken Laird, is most likely over the moon with this latest news that for the first time in 15 years, Disney will be opening a new theme park.
Oh.
This time in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if that's on Ken's list of places he wants to go.
In Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very close to Abu Dhabi.
Uh-huh.
It's on an island off Abu Dhabi. The Disneyland Abu Dhabi Resort will become Disney's 7th global resort destination with a potential opening in the early 2030s.
Huh. Okay.
The initial project plan includes one theme park and an unknown number of hotels, but it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's also going to be the first theme park that is on oceanfront, waterfront.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, because there's not a lot of ocean there.
Yeah.
Like, if you look over in the corner, the roller coaster is called Sand Mountain.
Yeah. But don't they make oceans out there? I feel like they make oceans in, like, Dubai and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And I bet that place is going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well,
very interesting move by Disney, considering the vast majority of its employees protested a North Carolina All-Star game to be in Abu Dhabi. But, hey, who am I to judge?
Well. Ken will most likely be traveling there alone as an adult, which he does frequently at Disney, and some find that weird. I don't want to judge anybody, but Ken is what? How old is Ken?
100.
40, 40, 40.
He's 5 years older than me. 45,
he is a full-blown Disney adult.
45. 45. Yeah. Still travels alone to Disney. That's an odd thing to do, but
sure is.
Really enjoys himself.
I don't know.
Sometimes he goes Winnie the Pooh, which I think is wildly inappropriate.
God in heaven. That
all right. Anyway,
I would go. Like, I mean, I want to go to Dubai.
Going to Dubai is different than going to Disney by yourself.
No, but I would go to Dubai and then spend a day at Disney.
That don't count.
Well, I mean, kind of does.
Yeah, only because it's there. If you, if Disney wasn't, obviously, if Disney's in Orlando, why don't you go down there to spend the day in Disney by yourself?
Roadshow in Dubai, maybe?
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Oh. And people forget, Greg, I hate to do this, but you are a bit fraudulent coming at
Ken. Why?
Because you honeymooned at Disney.
Yeah, but that was because I think we had a deal.
You still could have said no.
If I remember correctly, there was a guy who could get me like 3-day passes for free. So I built the honeymoon around that.
Did you wear like the groom Mickey ears?
What?
Did you wear like the groom Mickey ears?
I don't remember. It was 30 years ago or something like that.
Were you able to go to all the countries on one honeymoon at Epcot?
Actually, Curtis, we never left the room.
Oh,
you
know, hey.
Yeah, great room service.
Hey, babe, what exotic island are we going to? Now we're going to Orlando.
I know.
Actually, we're going to Kissimmee.
Isn't Orlando where people go to get divorced because they leave because Disney breaks them apart?
Cody, you might be right. That might be worse than
that. I was like, listen, nobody stays on property. It stinks on property. We're staying off property. No, Disney does the service like nobody else does service. Like maybe the rest
on the same level. But. Yeah,
that's a great honeymoon destination, Disney.
But I think that makes you like an ultimate Disney adult if you go there.
No. Chime, you know where you should honeymoon? Six Flags.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'll go to Hershey Park, Wiggy.
I would love Hershey Park. Hershey Park is a good take with kids. Curtis, you should take James to Hershey Park.
Yeah, Pennsylvania in the summer sounds really appealing.
That part of it stinks like it's, you know, 90 degrees. But we drove down there and took the kids there when they were little.
And is it all, like, chocolate theme?
Nice. It's kind of we also went to Sesame. There's a Sesame Park down there also. In Pennsylvania, where you can go.
Your honeymoon there? Second honeymoon?
No.
I would have loved him in a flop
in the Poconos.
You're a woman. Obviously, you're a woman. Yep. We know this. And, you know, like the big thing for women, I feel like, is the honeymoon.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about a different time.
Also, I don't think the times don't matter.
Greg,
did you have your 5-year anniversary at Legoland?
Yeah, we had no money. Like we were like it was a completely different time.
No, Greg, the honeymoon. If you got no money, then guess what? You save up until you can go to that romantic island destination. Oh, not hey, babe. You know what? I got 2 passes.
Was Water Country booked?
Yes. By the way, we're going to Gator Park too.
It didn't matter.
No, it's who you're with. It's not where you are.
Courtney, stop lying.
It was about
I would have chosen Canobie Lake, but that's just me. Let's go as we were talking to Florida.
Oh, okay.
And now
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of
Come to Miami.
Florida. Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
A woman in Port St. Lucie on Saturday got arrested for shoving cheesy nachos down her wife's leggings during a domestic dispute at 3 a.m. So alcohol was involved.
Okay.
39-year-old, she's a nurse. Both these women are nurses. Allison Swan. Her wife was making nachos when Allison allegedly told her she shouldn't be eating that late and made a comment about her weight.
Oh, dear.
That is when she took the nachos that she was preparing with the cheesy nacho sauce and shoved them down the back of her leggings. Mm. Things got worse. Mm. She dragged her on the ground, hit her head on the ground. The wife was on the phone with a friend, and the friend called 911 after hearing this on the open line. Authorities showed up. Swan tried to say that her wife threw the nachos at her. The cops saw that the plate was fully intact, not half of the nachos still on there, but the rest of the nachos were down the wife's backside.
I'm guessing since it was 3 a.m. that they weren't great nachos either. Right. They were probably like half-assed.
Yeah.
Like whatever was available.
Right.
Like drunk nachos.
Of course, right.
Yeah. Their prosecutor said, who, if anyone, likes queso at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
It was like Ritz crackers and ketchup and some American...
The cheese whiz.
Whatever they had in the fridge.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Where are you on Whiz? That's like the thing in Philly with the cheesesteak.
Absolutely not.
I agree.
No.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
Swan was arrested for domestic battery, a misdemeanor. She was freed from county jail Sunday morning after posting a $250 bond, but she has to stay clear from her wife.
All right.
Very good.
And let's stay in Florida to round this one out. An irrational fear after 61-year-old Cynthia DeGama of Davenport, Florida, and her husband were enjoying some time in a canoe in a lake in their property. And that is when they were in 2.5 feet of water and went over an alligator. Mm. The alligator thrashed and grabbed Cynthia out of the canoe.
What?
Wow.
Out of the canoe?
Yeah, sending her and her husband into the water, but Cynthia was bit and unfortunately died. Oh. The husband reportedly tried to fight off the gator, but was not successful.
Jesus.
They will grab you right out of a canoe?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a canoe. It ain't that big. I would never even get in a canoe in a lake in Florida. I mean, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah. I mean, and they can really propel themselves out of the water. If you've ever gone on, like, I did the Bayou gator tour where you're on, like, a big boat. But they jump up. Right. Like, you're worried
that
they're going to grab you out of that.
Were you on the phone with your mom the whole time?
What?
Were you on the phone with your mom the whole time?
Nope, I did that one solo.
Was it on, like, one of the fan boats with the
No, it wasn't the fan boat. It was just, it was, like, more low-key than that.
Yeah, you can't be in no small boat when you're in the swamps, unless you got a gun and you know how to really shoot them gators like swamp people, but they'll tear you to shreds.
That's awful.
Really sad.
It was on their property?
Well, like in their community, the lake in their community. Yeah.
Any witnesses?
So this was interesting when I first read the story. No video, no witnesses.
Or maybe
where does your true crime mind go immediately?
Well, it's always the husband. But I don't want to say that. He just lost his wife, he said he tried to fight the gator off.
So. Yes, he's in the canoe, too, so he's running a risk of, like, tipping the canoe over and potentially putting himself
in harm. No, he ended up in the water as well.
Oh, okay, so there you go. Then
he says he did, yes. All right. That's the news.
That's the news.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Good morning and hello. If you happen to be watching this show on either YouTube or on Twitch, this show on Twitch is presented by Springer's Jewelers. And Sunday is Mother's Day. And if you want to get the kids out and do something over Mother's Day weekend, then bring them to Springer's Jewelers and their locket bar event. They can create a one of a kind locket for mom. And she will cherish it always.
And they're gorgeous.
Really?
The lockets, like when you hear locket, you think very like vintage, something your grandmother had. These lockets are beautiful. I looked them up because I was interested.
Yeah.
And they're really, really pretty. I'm not just saying that.
Why don't you do one for your mom?
I already secured Call's gifts, but that is something that I would like to like to go check out.
All right. Well, hello to your mom, everyday listener of this show.
Yes.
And constantly on the phone with you during every commercial break.
Yeah.
Let's get to what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Celtics go down 2 games in the Eastern Conference semifinals, now heading to New York. Final score was 91-90 after once again being up 20 points. The guys have now made only 25 of their 103 point attempts in the series so far. Jaylen Brown and Derek White led the team with 20 points each in the loss. Game 3 in New York is Saturday at 3:30. Other playoff games last night, the Thunder tied things up with the Nuggets in Game 2, 149-106. The Red Sox get a win over the Rangers 6-4. Wilyer Abreu had 2 homers in this one, while Alex Bregman had his 200th career home run. He's one of only 34 active players in the 200 club. Tanner Houck went 4 2/3, giving up 2 runs on 6 hits while striking out 2. We can hear from Tanner Houck on last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
In terms of stuff-wise, I think maybe even a little bit better. Just in raw movement, execution I think was down a little bit, mainly to the glove side, but that's something I would still say that working on continuously, day in, day out. But all in all, grinded my way through the entire time.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today.
We should get to, I know we have been talking, rightly so, all Celtics all morning, but we should get to what Alex Cora said on the afternoon show yesterday about carefully asking Rafi Devers if he might mind playing first base every once in a while. So, maybe, Shine, let's get to that coming up. so I don't have to think about the Celtics.
Last one with the Rangers today. First pitch at 1:35 with Brian Baio taking the mound. Lenny DiNardo joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Joe Weil at 12:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. In the NHL, Dallas goes up a game on the Jets after game one, and the Maple Leafs go up two on the Panthers. Celebrate Mother's Day at the 99 restaurant and treat mom to delicious new menu specials made especially for her, like herb garlic filet mignon, lemon caper swordfish, or their famous colossal or hot buttered lobster rolls. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 60 degrees, partly cloudy sky, afternoon high, partly sunny, 70.
Alex Cora on the afternoon show yesterday here at WEEI, and it appears, if you listen to everything Alex said yesterday, he is open at some point to maybe cautiously asking Rafi Devers if he might help out a little bit in a pinch. But
I think he answered everybody's question. He said we asked them to do something in spring training that he really didn't want to do. He was against it, and he eventually kind of, got comfortable in his new role as a DH. Mm-hmm. So we feel like we'd rather go in other situations and try to ask him to maybe do something that he might not be as comfortable to do.
Okay.
No issues with that.
Right. I hate this team right now. God, do I hate it. I find it to be so incredibly pathetic that a grown man making $7 million a year is afraid to ask a guy to play first base. Because that's what this is. Or he's covering for him because he already asked and he said no. Either way, no accountability. Like, today, going to the game with James, it's going to be a bunch of kids, great afternoon game at Fenway Park. Why are we paying to watch an inferior product? Why are we watching Romy and Michelle's high school reunion at first base? Like, honestly, yeah. I can't wait to ask Craig Breslow why he doesn't have the balls to do his job and demand his manager put the best roster on the field.
Oh, he will be with us at 9, so half an
but
hour
But isn't it
away.
That simple? You're paying the guy $30 million a year. You have an opening at first base.
You're going to ask him why he doesn't have the balls, though?
Why is your organization afraid to ask their player to do what's best for the team?
I mean, the reason that you re-signed, one of the reasons you re-signed Alex Cora is, Curtis, I believe, because he is a player's manager. So he is, he's able to massage these guys.
All right, question.
Yes.
Isn't the purpose of being a player's manager that the players then do things you ask without wondering why? That you have that relationship. The only purpose that would serve is that the player feels the trust of the coach or the manager. Therefore, they will do things they may not do for other people.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are upset about it. Like, we didn't want him to play third base. Now, all of a sudden, we want him to play first base.
Right, because the team's better with him at first.
How is the team better with him at first base?
Because then you have much more flexibility with Roman Anthony to DH. You have other players that you can, Yoshida, you can have other guys.
Well, why can't you put Roman Anthony at first base? He's probably a better athlete.
Because he's not a first baseman in his career.
But neither is Devers,
though. And he's the number one prospect in baseball.
Devers has never played first base in his career.
Right.
And Roman Anthony is probably maybe a better athlete than Devers, right? So why not put the best?
I just told you why. He's not going to be a first baseman. He is in the infancy of his career. He is the literal number one prospect in Major League Baseball.
Right.
And it's far more difficult for him to get to where he wants to go if he takes a detour to first base. Whereas Rafi Devers is hitting. He said he wants to play the field. Then you have maximum roster flexibility with Devers at first, Bregman at third, and then DH.
But if you have a guy who is in the beginning of his career, isn't it better for him to, like,
no.
Marcelo Mayer plays a bunch of positions, right? Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you use guys that are younger and they could, have a little bit more of flexibility to kind of learn multiple positions versus a guy who's much older and who's only played one position in his career, and now he's settled into the DH position. I'd rather the more athletic guy play first base.
I think that some people look at it like you're paying the guy $30 million, so you want to get the most value out of him that you can.
Right, and I think you make good points, and I think my frustration is more with the organization. In that, if they said what you just said, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But they said they haven't even talked about it. And not because they have a better answer, but because Devers is settling into a position after being kicked off of his regular position in spring training. That, to me, is not the answer you give your fan base.
This is Mike from East Longmeadow. Hello, Mike.
Morning. How are you guys?
What's up?
Well, originally you were talking about Missoula and giving him some of the blame, if not most of the blame, for his play calling and not calling timeout at the end.
Yep.
How much of this Red Sox mediocrity do you give blame to Cora? And the reason I bring it up is because the Red Sox have been the last team in defense for the last couple years. They're striking out more than any other team, and they continue to do that, and there doesn't seem to be any changes. I kind of blame Cora for that.
It's kind of like basketball. Shoot the threes, and in baseball, swing for the fences, so they don't mind strikeouts.
But if you're if you look at it, when you're leading the league in strikeouts and you're not moving runners along, that's one of the criticisms of the Red Sox. And that's what they've been doing for the last couple of years, and nothing changes. Now, I understand if you're swinging for the fences, you're going to strike out more, but it's costing them games because they're not putting the ball in play. They're getting 10, 12 strikeouts a game. That's unheard of.
Yeah.
And their defense—they've been one of the last teams in defense in baseball for a couple of years now.
Yeah, listen.
I blame Cora. I blame Cora part of it.
I am always told it's a long season, and so don't worry about it until later. But what's bothersome is that some of these games they are losing to teams that they ought to be racking up wins against. So.
They have had the easiest schedule in baseball to this point in their 500.
They won last night.
Yep.
Night before, you know, you lose that game, and you're losing to the team that has the fewest runs scored in the American League.
Yeah.
That coming in, Texas had lost 9 of the last 12 or whatever it was.
That was raining cats and dogs, though.
But doesn't matter.
We're back to the weather again?
It was bad, though.
Well, first it was the cold weather. Now it's the rain?
The rain is different.
But if it wasn't for Abreu and Bregman, like, we would be terrible. Like, they're the saving grace for this team, too.
The story's pretty good, too, at the plate. Story's been pretty good. Campbell's been solid. I mean, I don't know. Cora says that other than the first besides the first week of the season, Devers has been good. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the weeds when it comes to, you know, OPS and batting average.
Yeah, you should be, Shimes. I love this. Like, this may be a ridiculous argument, but it comes up every time we talk about this. From a Maine texter, why wouldn't you put Bregman at first and move Raffy back to third? Like, would he be willing to play third base? Like, that to me is the dumbest thing you'd ever do because you lose Bregman over there. But
and Buster Olney speaks with several evaluators across Major League Baseball in ranking the options now that Casas is gone. He has Devers playing first, the best option. And one evaluator said, I don't think Devers will be bad at first. It's not like he was a total zero at third. He was okay at times. And then Buster Olney writes, if Devers were to play first, that would open up the DH spot for Cora to use as a resting spot for position players dealing with wariness or nagging injuries, creating an opening for Roman Anthony or Marcelo Mayer to be promoted.
This is Steve in the truck. Hey, Steve.
Good morning, people. How are we doing today?
What's up, Steve?
Chris, I love you, but it wasn't great.
Steve, can you call in with a better phone? Every time you call in, it sounds like you're under the sea.
We'll wait.
Maybe he's calling from one of those underground cities.
It's just like, I can't.
Wait, are you on board with the underground city thing now?
I've always been on board with the underground city
thing. I didn't know you were on board with it.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I thought you were laughing facetiously during my lead the other day.
No, I absolutely believe it. I brought up the point of the guy on TikTok who claims he was a barista at a Starbucks in one of those underground cities.
That's the underground highway.
Oh, yeah, underground highway in L.A.
Right. And that one definitely exists.
But I would assume that if that exists, then similar things exist across the country.
Yeah. Why am I not aware of the underground highway?
Well, have you ever thought about...
Probably because I'm not on the TikTok.
If you're ever in, like, California where all the celebs are, like, wouldn't you expect that you see, you know, Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus, like, in cars next to you on the highway?
Uh-huh.
Never. Right. You never see, like, celebrity in their car driving.
Okay, so there's some kind of a VIP elite underground highway that nobody knows about.
Well, and really? There's In-N-Out, there's Starbucks. Gas Station Shime.
Underground?
I believe so. Yeah.
What? Okay. None of them drive gas-powered vehicles.
Yeah. Really? Well, probably charging stations, Curtis. You're right.
Courtney, I have a question.
Yeah.
What does everybody have on them now at all times?
Cell phones.
And what do those have?
Cameras.
Yeah.
And what do you have that you could use to maybe send a picture to a bunch of people?
No. If you have access to the underground, you can't share it.
Right.
But to your point, why don't we have a ton of videos or photos of celebrities driving their cars on the highway?
I think
they probably have drivers.
Not really.
Wasn't there a video of Justin Timberlake just yelling and screaming at
somebody? Justin Timberlake wasn't in L.A. He was in New York when he had his DUI. Right.
No. Justin Timberlake only drives drunk.
When somebody pulled up next to him. My thing is if there is this underground tunnel.
Secret underground highway.
There has to be an access
celebrity
point.
Highway, they call it.
Right,
Sean,
celebrity
help
highway.
Me out here.
So,
Greg, what if they call it the HOMV or VIP lane?
So the access point would only be available
to the
celebrities, but it would
you drive into the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, it'd have to be secretive.
So why did the barista tell us?
Because what's the thing you sign that you can't
NDA?
NDA. I wanted to say DN something, but yeah, NDA. They all sign NDAs, and his has since expired, and so that's why he was able.
So my guess is other people's would have expired too, right?
Unless they stay employed there forever.
Dumb move by the attorneys, having him sign an NDA that expires.
He also claims too that at these underground Starbucks locations, the celebs don't pay. Right. They just walk in, grab their stuff, and leave.
I just googled how long must they retain.
There's some women who are hooking up with a celebrity or a one night stand type deal, and they've been taken through the underground highway, and they've talked about it after.
TikTok.
Yeah, they're on TikTok.
They've been on celebrity highway.
Yeah, they say they go down into the highway at one point, and then all of a sudden they pop up and they're in a completely different part of LA.
I feel like Harriet Tubman.
But where's
you believe this?
Courtney, where's the access point?
Well, I don't know.
Wiki, we're not elite. How do we know this?
Yeah, we don't have.
Because I'm going to tell you. What happens every time a celebrity comes out of a club or a restaurant and they get
there's
in a
paparazzi.
Car?
Paparazzi.
So wouldn't they follow them and then know where the access point would be? And so,
but why doesn't anybody follow them?
And by the way, Greg, don't scoff at paparazzi paninis for lunch. Very good.
You would think there'd be a million paparazzi at the access point.
Well, they don't know where it is either.
But they're following them when they're driving.
They have no idea.
And it's
Wellesley Center.
It almost seems like they're just what they're probably
they
doing.
Lose the tail.
I know what they're doing.
Obscure reference. Lose the tail.
Departed.
Yes, they're probably doing from Analyze This, I believe it, where they go in and they change the limos, and then 15 black limos come out.
Yeah, you'll never know which one they're in.
But let me just ask you one more time: if you're a barista, how much do you make on a great year?
Probably one of these underground places a lot more than normal
baristas. Right. Right.
So they're making $200,000-$300,000 getting macchiatos and underground?
It's a good job.
And the celebrities, just to be clear, they are provided free access to the food and such and the charging stations.
Yeah, they don't pay.
It's all free.
I will say I have a source that is close to a very, very big celebrity who just texted me and said, never used a secret highway. Does not believe it's real.
We'll never get those
minutes back.
You may be.
It's still holding out hope.
I still believe there's something under the Denver airport as well.
Oh, that's a good one too, Shyam.
Yep.
This is Jay from South Boston. Hello, Jay.
Good morning, guys. Before I get on the Celtics, I want to say, Craig, the smile looks immaculate, all right?
Thank you.
It's a great smile.
It's Dr.
Shout
Wu.
Shout out to your Dr. Michelle Wu. I might vote for her this year.
Dr. Wu.
Hot Coco.
Yes.
Great take. I was against the whole, it might not be Missoula, but looking the way he reacted to the media yesterday was a clear indication that this is his game plan. He wants to shoot 9 out of 3. So at this point, we can't blame anyone but Missoula. Thank you, guys.
Jay, you cut out for, you still there?
I'm still here.
You cut out for a minute. You're saying he just wants to, he's going to shoot the threes until they either win the series or they're out of it. And he's not going to listen to anybody.
Exactly. He's going to live and die by the three. And this is what we get. There's nothing else we can complain about. It's literally the threes.
How do you think the chess master feels about it?
Analytics, Greg. It makes sense, you know?
Joshua Waitzkin, who is a coach on the Celtics. I actually have a photo of Joshua if you are watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube, and he was the subject of the great film Searching for Bobby Fischer. I don't know, Wiggy, did you see that? That's our time. Lawrence Fishburne and Kingsley, Ben Kingsley.
Mm. I heard of it. I don't think I've seen it though.
So he has been added to the coaching staff,
right?
Because he took Joe on an incredible retreat where they climbed a mountain without their shoes on.
And I believe they're both martial arts enthusiasts.
Yes. Oh, okay.
He looks like a slightly less detached Zuckerberg.
Well, he could drop an out-of-bounds play.
You think he can?
I mean, I would hope so if you're that good at chess, right? Strategy.
What would the Celtics do the remainder of the series if they were coachless?
The same?
They'd have to hit their threes.
Right. Like, I just find it so amazing that in one breath, Mazzulla talks to the reporters asking him basic questions like he is so much superior to them. And then he just says, yeah, if we make them, we win. Like, then what the hell is your job?
Mm. And it is pretty hard to, like, you know, as you watch it, you're like, ugh. The threes are what help you win a championship and what got you there. But
were they, though? I mean, we talked about this earlier.
Yep.
Is it not fair to question whether the easy road was what helped you win a championship last season?
Yeah, but you were still doing the same thing, though. Even though the road was easier, you were still putting up, you know, not the same amount of attempts, but you were still putting up a lot of three-pointers. Mazzulla's right to a certain extent. You were hitting. You're not going to beat a team when you're shooting. What are they shooting?
25 of 100?
In this series, like.
They've taken 100 threes, and they have made 25.
So you're shooting 25%.
Which is atrocious.
Right. And what are the Knicks? The Knicks are probably shooting close to 40% in three. You're not going to beat a team that way. And that's just that's the thing. When you look at what they did last year in every series of the playoffs, they always shot a better three-point percentage than their opponent.
Well, I did not think that we would be in here this morning talking about this scenario, but we are. Celtics down two games, heading to New York. Game three on Saturday. You can talk about it all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. There you go, Wiggy. You got your mic and the mechanics, and you got angry Joe Mazzulla after game one. And same result, unfortunately, last night. So, Joe Mazzulla is dancing, I guess, with what brung them.
Pretty much.
And they're going to keep launching threes because they have the looks. Great looks. They had great looks again last night. So we're going to keep at it. And Celtics are down 2-0. Place that you didn't think this team would be in. And this is Frank from Cape Coral. Hello, Frank.
Greg, good morning.
What's up?
I got a point for you and a point for Wiggy.
Yep.
Number one, Rome and Alitalia sucks. I was forced to go there many times as a child, so I'm agree with you there. Wiggy.
Yeah.
Let's see if Worm agrees with me. I play Texas Hold'em, 1-2 no limit, 2-5 no limit. I'm buying in for 300 or 1,000. Now I'm up. I hit a couple sets. I hit a couple full houses, straight flush. I bought in, and now I have $5,000, right?
Yep.
Oh, now I'm going to play 7-deuce. Now I'm going to play 8-3 suited. Right. Oh, now I got a gut shot. Oh, I'm going to try to chase. And that's the Celtics for the three-pointers.
They're river
they're
rats.
They're up by 20. No discipline.
They're river rats. That's exactly what they are. They're river rats. They are going to chase everything. They're going to look for those gut shots for all you poker heads out there. But that's the thing. And when you look at the stats, like, it's kind of interesting. And B-Rob, you asked that question. When the Knicks shoot 57% from three-point land in the second half and you shoot 26% and this is game one, you ain't winning.
No.
Especially when you have a 20-point lead, because they're ultimately going to make those shots and they're making them at a high clip. And then last night's game, it's 33%. And the second half for the Knicks, and you're at 26%.
But they get cute on the 20-point lead.
They
have the opportunity to put grind their foot down on the neck, and they don't do it.
And I realize it's open season on Bill, and I've probably led that charge for a while. It's insulting to Bill Belichick to compare Joe Mazzulla to him. What Joe Mazzulla did after the game was say that they did nothing wrong. Bill Belichick, in defeat, The first thing he says when he gets there is, goes, we've got to coach better, we've got to execute better, and we've got to play better.
Joe is pointing at those guys.
Right.
Joe Mazzulla is pointing at his players.
It is not like Bill Belichick.
No, it's not.
And Bill Belichick really wasn't like that until he won 3 Super Bowls. So, like, they've won a championship, but the way Mazzulla, is it any surprise to anybody that what happened in Game 1 was replicated almost exactly in Game 2 when you hear what he said in between the games?
No. Right. No.
And I wrote it down last night, Greg. Was the first thing, like, watching the game, they got cute.
They got cute. They did. This is Richard from Scituate. Hey, Richard.
Yes, hey. I was going to say when you see the white smoke come out of the Vatican, that means that the Celtics have a new coach.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Curtis, maybe we get Wick on the phone and you ask if they lose this, if maybe they're going to part ways with Joe, and then they'll turn it around.
You know what, Courtney? I was a year too soon.
Yeah, but that's the when they turned it around last time.
Never wrong, only early.
Right. I was 2 weeks early.
Is Richard in the running to be the Pope or too young?
I think too young.
I think that call peaked too soon.
Okay. All right. This is Jay from Saugus. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Listen, I have a whole list of all the Cardinals, and there's a Cardinal out of Italy, Cardinal Sicola. Uh-huh. I'm kind of rooting for him so we could have Pope Sicola.
Okay. Okay, I'll take that.
Have a good
that.
Day.
All right, thank you, Jay. Thank you. We all could use some Pope humor today.
Pope Sicola. But I think, Courtney, you said you heard it from Barkley, right?
Yeah.
Game 3 being... In my opinion, the team that wins that game wins the series.
Okay. I mean, is it a must-win?
No, I think game 3 is whoever wins that game wins the series.
Yeah.
But like Chad Finn wrote that the game 2 is a must-win, so does he just stop watching?
No, you keep watching.
Like, I'm slightly stroking the panic button. I gave you that drop.
Yes,
I knew what I was doing there.
Clean. Yeah. You did. I mean, Celtics will probably win it, but that doesn't say to me that they're going to win this series.
No,
but that will
tell me that if they win...
When was the last time this team, as currently constructed, faced the same adversity that they face right now?
Last year.
No.
Weren't they down two?
No.
No.
No, they were never down two.
They were never down
two
last year.
2 years ago.
They never lost two games in a series last year.
No.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
But then they won it.
No, they lost in game seven.
Because Tatum was hurt.
Yeah, he hurt his ankle. No, they've never been in this.
Jimmy Butler put up like 60 or whatever it was.
You got to mix in some ginkgo biloba.
Yeah. A 60 piece, as we like to say in the biz, Curtis.
Yeah.
No, they've never dealt with the adversity. No,
they have not.
Nope. But
what tells you that they're going to deal with it this time?
Because I think to kind of Curtis's point,
they can't deal with the adversity of their shots not going in, their 3-pointers not going in.
I know that.
In the fourth quarter, or field goals for that matter.
Right.
I mean, they went 8 minutes last night without a single field goal.
Right.
Do you want to have a stat that's going to be a little damaging to the psyche? In the conference semis in NBA playoff history, there have been 117 matchups where a team was down 2-0. 8 of the 117 came back to win the series. Mm-hmm. Less than 7%.
So you're telling me I should bet on the Knicks to win the series at plus 100?
Yes.
Okay.
That would obviously be the safe and smarter bet. But I think when you look at, and I think Curtis said it earlier in the show, when you look at these first two games, the Celtics know that they're a better team. And they're a better team on paper, and they know that
that might be the problem.
Right, but if they can win game 3.
That they assume that they're a better team.
Right,
that may be the problem.
Here's my point to the game 3 thing, because if they can win game 3, now what it does is it kind of solidifies what they know they are, and it maybe hurts the Knicks, because the Knicks know, wait a second, this team is potentially going to come back to who they are.
Well, is the repeat in jeopardy? You can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. And we are going to get to this week's Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow next.